All right, who's excited for the sermon today? Who knows what the sermon's about already? You already know what it's about. I think they knew what it was about when they were picking the songs and things. They know what it's about. And like, you showed up. You're here, you know, you didn't, or that, or you were so interested. Like, I got to go, you know, or someone's like, hey, these are my favorite verses. I want to go because these are my absolute favorite verses. But today is very much about submission. It's not just about submission in marriage. It's more than that. I think ultimately that last song was a really good start for us. It's about submission to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's about submission to the Lord. Oh, yeah. By the way, I like the amen. Timely amens in this sermon would be really appreciated. I mean, just like, amen. Preach it, bring it, you know, all those things. But just don't do it at the wrong time. Guys, I'm warning you, okay? Like, certain parts, maybe let your wife say amen. I joke about that, but this is all God's word, so it's really good, and we can be so thankful for it. When I was in seminary, I read this book called Christ-Centered Preaching. And in Christ-Centered Preaching, like they're saying, like every sermon really should have Christ at the center, and the gospel should be part of it somehow. It should all come back to Christ. But in each and every sermon that you preach, they encourage you to identify something called the fallen condition focus. That's where you look at the passage, and you look at what's going on there, and you say, like, what in this is difficult because we live in a fallen world? Because we have a fallen state, and we're a fallen people. Like, what about this passage is difficult? What do I struggle with in this passage? And I think this is a good passage where it's just very easy to see, like, okay, I can really see, like, in the human state, in the fallen state, in the broken world that we live in, why something about this is hard and why it addresses a condition that's in us that is difficult. So we're going to pray several times. I like to pray several times as I preach, but I want to invite you to pray with me right now before we even read the passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and the opportunity to gather together to worship you freely, to pour our hearts out to you. Lord, I pray that today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you have the power and freedom to strip down any walls that we've built up, any preconceived notions we have, any attitudes that we have, any false teachings we've bought into, any lies, any selfishness that's in us, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will penetrate our hearts and you will change us because we've heard your word today. And we've listened and we've believed. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're reading today Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. And I go back one verse from last week's message. So verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen. So let's actually pray once more now that we've heard the words of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, that you would give us faith to believe what we hear and know and trust that you're good and believe in you and follow you. And give us insight into these words and understanding and help us to actually live these things out in our lives. Thank you so much. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Actually, we could also say that today's not just about submitting. And I think when we say that, we actually mean it's submitting to God, submitting to the Holy Spirit, submitting to His work, His will for your life. But it's also a lot about marriage. And I realize some of you are married and some of you are not married, right? And if you're not married, I want to say don't just tune this out, because you could still learn a lot from this. And it'd be very beneficial for you to really pay attention. And even if you never get married, you still learn things from this that would be very helpful for you just to walk as a Christian and to follow Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, so I want to encourage you with that. But let's think about marriage a little bit, you know, why we have it, where it comes from, you know, the origins of it, you know, what it really is as far as a biblical perspective. You know, what is marriage? And if we want to get that, we have to go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 25. And this is after God created the man and all the animals, it said. It said, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" So there was Adam. He was the only man. He was on earth. And God had made this beautiful creation, and everything was peaceful, and everything looked good, and everything was not broken like it is today. Like, would you agree that we live in a broken world today? Like, it's broken. There are just so many things. I mean, we see a lot of good things, because it's not completely ruined, but it's broken. We see a lot of bad things, a lot of sad things, a lot of difficult things. When God created everything that He created, the very first thing that He looked at, the very first time He looked at something and He saw something that was not good, is when He looked at man and He saw that man was alone, and He said, "This isn't good that man's alone. Man needs a helper." Now that'd be a good time for an amen. Amen. Man needs a helper. Try it again. Man needs a helper. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to get married, because that's not a promise in Scripture. And actually, Paul, when the Apostle Paul writes, he writes about marriage and singleness, and he says, if you're single, you can more fully devote yourself to serving God. You have an advantage in that way. And in that case, singleness is not a bad thing. It can actually be a holy calling of God to live that out. Okay, so nothing that I say today should take away from singleness at all, and serving God and being fully dedicated to Him. But also, there's also a very normal like pattern within us that we're incomplete by ourselves, and we long to be with somebody else. We long to be known by somebody else. We long to have companionship with somebody else. We long to love somebody. We long to care for somebody. We long to be in it together. Amen? Can I get amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, that's really built into us and stamped on us. And so that's oftentimes, if we are single, we struggle with that. That's a difficulty, and we have that longing. But we also have to submit. It goes back to that submitting to God's plan. So we're talking about just the overall pattern here. And it was what God looked at Adam, and He said, "It's not good for him to be alone. He needs a helper. He needs a companion. He needs somebody fit for him." Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Now, it was close when the golden retriever showed up. And the golden retriever thought that he was the companion. So we have two golden retrievers at home, and especially our boy golden retriever, like, he's just obsessed with people. He'll just sit there like looking at it. He just wants to be with you. He's a really good therapy dog. You know, Amy just had surgery and she was over at our house healing up a little bit. And I think Ollie helped a lot. Gracie too, both of them. They really helped a lot. They're good therapy dogs. But even the sweetest dog that we call man's best friend was not good enough to be man's helper or man's companion. And the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heaven and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Very powerful words and verses there. But first I want to say, I remember when I was, I think it was shortly after college, I went to a friend's wedding. It was in happened to be in a Catholic church, and there was a Catholic priest that was doing the wedding. And when he was doing the wedding, he was sharing like some of these very verses. But what he said that almost caused me to fall out of my pew is he said that this is just a story and it didn't really happen. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that this did happen. It really did happen, and we believe that it happened, and we take it with authority because it happened. Now, if it was just a story and it didn't really happen, then why did Jesus talk about it like it really happened? If you read in the New Testament, when Jesus talks about it, he talks about it like it really happened. Okay, and when Jesus looks back and he talks about the Old Testament, just like Jonah really happened. Amen. These things really happened. Yes, I like the amen. Let's go. Let's be fine. I can kind of tell everyone's a little bit tired today. Who's a little bit tired when you came in here? Well, it's time to wake up, okay? Amen. All right, so it really happened. And so we're talking about something that really happened. So when we think about marriage and where it comes from and how it's grounded, we're going back to the very beginning, to what really happened, to how God really created us and what God really observed and what God really caused to happen. And how God made, when God saw a man, he said, this isn't good that he should be alone. I need to make somebody that complements him, that perfectly fits him. And when he made it, he didn't make a dog or a cat or something like that, but he made another human being, but he made a woman. He didn't make another man, he made a woman. Amen. We got a man and a woman, and that's God's pattern, and that's God's plan, and that's what he has right there. And so as you look at it, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. And so that is God's plan. That is God's first. Now, I know we live in a world where people live in completely different ways, and they live in completely I'll call it rebellion to this. People have completely different ideas. And we can't make people believe what the Bible says, but we ourselves can believe what the Bible says. And live that out and be faithful to that and remain in that. And I think some of the world is kind of waking up to this a little bit more and more. And people have been beaten down in some of these things so much. We do want to love people, but we never want to affirm what's wrong and say that what's wrong is right. Amen. And when we talk about sexual morality, that means what's good and what's acceptable. And we talk about God's plan. And actually, what would be the very best for any single person? It's to follow God's plan. Amen. For their life. All right, so in this case, we see marriage. We see where it comes from. It comes from God saying that it's not good for this one person to be alone, that he needs to have somebody. And when God made somebody for him and he made a woman, he called her his wife. That's the first marriage right there. In the scripture, it says it right there. That was his wife. And the two were both naked and they weren't ashamed. Now, at this point, they didn't really know any better. But also, it also gives us that idea and that understanding of intimacy between two people, that they can have that kind of intimacy together and not feel shamed. And the truth is, a husband and a wife should actually never feel ashamed of being intimate with one another. Amen? So we see that. We see that. So we're seeing marriage. So this is where it comes from. Now, this is really before it got all contaminated and broken, right? This is it at its simplest, at its best, you know. Things are really innocent here, and the world hadn't fallen, and all these things hadn't happened. Right? It's good. Amen? And God had saw. He said it wasn't good for man to be alone, but he fixed that. He fixed that with a woman. So when God makes us, he doesn't, I'm not trying to get too like modern and political here with things, but I have to kind of say it, right? Like in today's world, they go, because I called the doctor, the insurance company, the lady was like, what sex were you assigned at birth? I said, it wasn't that. I'm a man, 100% man. I've been male all my life. It's just like they looked at it. They didn't assign it. They wouldn't assign anything else. They recognized it. They said, this is a male. This child is male, right? And so, like when we have that, God makes us male and female. Okay? And again, here's God's plan for that. We see that. We see a lot of these are the fundamentals. Like, so when we think about how to live our life and what to do, we go back to the fundamentals. And the Bible does this again and again. Like, it gives us reason. When Jesus was talking about marriage and divorce and these kind of things, he said, let's go back and look at the very beginning. This is where it comes from. And this is the reason we have marriage. It goes all the way back to the creation and the created order. All right, so now we have that to kind of be the foundation now. So in a marriage, you go back to the very beginning, was there a need for companionship? Yes. Was there a need for completion? Yes. Was there a need for help? Yes. Could you call any of those things like partnership? Yes. Yeah, there is a definite partnership. You know, listen, my greatest partner in life is my wife. And it's just bottom line. That's just how it is. And I love some of you guys and things, but like a lot of times we hang out, I love to just go home and just be with my wife, okay? And can I say it too? Like, do you feel the same? You feel the same, right? Sometimes, you know, after those ladies' retreats and different things, she's had a good time, but she's happy to come home to her husband, you know? And it's maybe, I don't know, I'm a simple guy too, you know, pretty quiet, don't talk a lot, you know, but I do all my talking on Sunday mornings. We got some chatty guys in this church, by the way, I'm going to say that. You should see that text thread some of those guys do, and they like memes, you know. There's one guy in particular, like, he's a meme for everything, you know, but I don't want to discourage that. Keep up the good work there. But we have that as our foundation, and then so we build upon it with the verses that we read now. So we don't just throw that away. We don't forget about that. And we do the same thing when we were reading in Ephesians, and that's why I have this verse straddling both last week's message and this week's message, which these verses in Ephesians really are about how to live for Christ. How to live as a Christian. You know, you want to understand the theology behind salvation, but once that's given, then how should you then go and live for Christ? And so the first verse that I mentioned today out of Ephesians 21, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What this is known and called, the name for this is mutual submission. It's mutual submission among believers. Basically, what it means is that we should go out of our way to submit to other believers. Amen. You're a believer in Christ. I'm a believer in Christ. I care about you. I care what the Holy Spirit is working and speaking into your life. I care about it. I want to value you. You're important. Your gifts and your abilities and your mind and your thoughts and your understanding about things. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. God has you here on purpose. I need to hear from God through you. And we need to work on this together. And we need to figure this out together. Amen? Some of you are getting fired up, okay? You need to keep this up the whole time, okay? By the way, I did actually do a fill-in-the-blank last week, right? Yeah. How many of you did the fill-in-the-blank? Okay, a few of you did. So some of you did it, okay? I could not get myself to do a fill-in-the-blank for this. It was like, I thought it was just going to be too simple as I did it, you know? So just want to throw that out there. I'm going to try that again probably next week and work on that again next week. I'm a work in progress on that. But this verse about submitting to one another for all Christians, the next verse does not supersede this verse. We don't actually just throw this verse away when we go to the next verse. Right? You follow what I'm saying? So when we talk specifically about wives, we don't forget about mutual submission. We remember mutual submission. Now, I think the way you can think about mutual submission is yielding. Yielding. You know those yield signs that are out there? Like, they're not, it's not like completely stop, but it's yield, but you better watch out for the other cars coming. And so sometimes, you know, submitting to somebody is like, it's yielding. It's like, okay, well, I will yield my idea, my thought. I don't have to be right about everything. I'll yield to you. I'll let you have your way in this. I'll do that. You know, I'll support you. I'll even kind of adapt what I think, right? Isn't there a lot of that in marriage? I believe so. I mean, I'm glad I'm not the person that I was when my wife and I got married. Now, of course, I was 19, and I just liked to like sit around all weekend and watch football all weekend long. I could put like 20 hours in there watching football, like no problem whatsoever, playing video games, you know, doing those kind of things, you know, but I think, you know, getting married and having a wife from an early age challenged me to grow up, amen, right? And to do that. And that was good for me. And I needed that, right? I didn't need to just tell her to be quiet and let me just stay the way that I am. I needed to become somebody different, you know? So there needed to be that, and I needed to yield to her, and believe me, she needed to yield to me too. We both, it's the same thing. So it's the same for any of you guys, right? Now this week, I kind of got set up for something. It was to go on this hike with Damien, by the way. He invited me to go on this hike in Enumclaw. I think he's going to watch us. He's not here today. He had to work, so this is going to be for him. But I got set up to go on this hike where he invited me to go on this, like, it's a mile straight up. This is hike in Enumclaw somewhere. It's just straight up and straight down. At the very top, there's this big fire lookout. I get there, and he's, like, stretching out. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? We're not running up this thing. And he's like, yeah, I want to push this really hard. Are you in good shape? How's your cardio? I said, well, it's okay. But I said, I don't know if it's this good, okay? So so we go up this hike, and he said I did good, and I didn't die on the way up, and I didn't fall or anything like that, and things like that. Because I had talked to him. I said, he told me that he likes to run a whole bunch, do marathons, endurance marathons, or ultra marathons, and these kind of things. And I thought, man, I'm in the wrong place. What is happening here? But we went up, made it down, came back. But on this trip, I saw something. It was like, man, it was like one of those things where, like, God's like, hey, I'm showing you something here. Pay attention. There was this little bridge going up to the little mountain thing there. It was a little one-lane bridge. And when I was coming up, going to the mountain, it said, yield to oncoming traffic. And I went over the bridge. We did the hike and all that. We had a great time. We came back. And on the other side, it said, yield to oncoming traffic. And I was like, that is the coolest picture of mutual submission right there. Right, any of us could go ramming our way in there, right? But it's like both sides got to pay attention, both sides got to yield, both have to do that. Amen. Isn't that a cool picture? And I think it was like one of those things, like God, it was like the perfect day, the perfect time to see that and to pay attention to that. And if you're actually in God's Word and you're thinking about God's Word, a lot of times things will strike you like that. You'd be like, oh, this is a picture of mutual submission among believers, and it also works in marriage. It's part of that too. So last thing about that submitting, mutual submission, is submitting to others and submitting to authority, any kind of authority, because the Bible calls us to submit to other authorities. That's submitting to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right, now, should we just stop right there and like come back next week and pick up the rest, or should we just kind of piece all this together? Keep it together. Some of you are like, I know he's not serious about that anyways. I mean, this is like an insincere offer because he's going to do it. And he would be really, and I would look really bad if I just really wanted it to happen. But okay, we're going to keep going. This is where it gets difficult for some people. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, I realize this is not in sync with today's modern thinking, right? I realize that there will be a lot of pushback on the word submit, and that there are a lot of different ways that people try to do marriage, and they think about it, and they think about these verses. Like, for instance, when we did get married, we had these verses in our wedding. And when we had these verses in our wedding, some ladies said, not at my wedding, not in my marriage. Some that we knew well, you know, that were like mothers of friends and different things and stuff like that, you know, right? Now, first of all, I would say, where did these words come from? They come from, did man just write these words? Did some guys just come up with these words and go like, hey, I really like this, so let's make this happen, you know? let's do this. No, as Christians, and we look at the Bible and we hand our scripture, and this is what we believe, and this is also what's true, that these words were given by God through the Holy Spirit. They were inspired. These are God's words. Amen. That's why we call the Bible God's words. And so when something that God writes butts up against like some of our attitudes and some of our thoughts and some of our modern ways of thinking, it's not God's word that's the problem. It's our thoughts and attitudes and preconceived notions that are the problem. Amen? Amen. All right. So when we have struggle with that, it is because of ourselves, right? And by the way, if you're here today and you're visiting and you think all this sounds wild and crazy and stuff like that, I would just invite you to listen to the whole sermon and evaluate everything that's going to be said today, because there's going to be some real depth to this I don't know if you'll be able to grasp it, because a lot of times we don't. I pray that you would, but I invite you to listen closely, not only to what's said to women, but what's said to men in this too. Yeah. Amen? Now, this is a big part of God's way of doing marriage, though, and to make a relationship that works and to have it work. I think there's this incredible dance that's actually really going on between husband and wife, right? No, you're not the same. No, you don't think about things the same. There's some things that really need to happen to kind of make it work and to make the dance continue and to continue well and to make it continue strong. And the cool thing about that is, like, it never becomes boring. It's always interesting. It's always a challenge, right? Amen? Husbands, you can say amen to that, right? Like, you're still trying to figure your wife out, aren't you? Like, you haven't got her figured out. Like, working hard at it, you know? Okay. This is not a one-verse thing, right? This isn't a lot of verses in the Bible. So we can't just say, like, well, you know, this was misinterpreted or it's a translation issue or something like that. No, it's like it's there again and again. It's like what this is a divine calling from God. It's a divine calling for a woman to submit to her husband. I mean, it just is, right? We can try to apologize it away. We can do something, but it is God's divine calling to you, ladies. But it actually says wives are to submit to your own husband. So it doesn't say like all women are to submit to all men, right? It doesn't say that. But it says a wife is submit to her own husband. Amen. It actually doesn't say like a girlfriend is to submit to a boyfriend. It doesn't say that either. It says it's to a wife, to a husband. So if there ever was like a boyfriend, like trying to, or even a fiance trying to say, hey, you submit to me because I'm the man or whatever, like, no. Actually, I'm actually of the theological understanding that a man should actually never mention this. Like a man should never go like, hey, the Bible says you're supposed to submit to me. Like, forget it. It didn't say that to you. It said that to her. It's addressed wives. Wives do this. And so anytime if I were to bring it up, and I have never done this in our marriage, and I plan to never do this, to never say like, you're not submitting to me. You have to submit to me. It's your place to submit to me. I feel like if I did that, I would be out of line before God and I would not be submitting to the Spirit. Okay? And I also think, I'm going to challenge you guys too. If you read this, guys, and you read this, and the thing that dominates your thought in this passage is your wife submitting to you, that you have missed the whole point of the passage. You are just out there in left field. You're not getting it because there's so much more. There's so much for you in this passage. And again, ladies, if you're submitting to your husband, you're submitting to the Lord as you do it. So when you do this, the submitting, it's not, you know, I just submit to him and I treat my husband like God or something like that. No, no. It fits within your submitting to God. You submit to God as part of your submitting to God. You submit to your husband. You yield to your husband. And it's part of your relationship to the Lord. It says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Again, the Word of God, Scripture, says that the husband is the head of wife. It's not the other way around. Wife is not the head of husband. Husband is the head of wife. And the husband is to represent Christ as the wife represents the church, like in this. You're supposed to be able to see that, and that's really spelled out here, that there are different roles in marriage. Okay, how many of you are excited you came to church today? This is good, huh? This is good stuff. All right, like, man, I mean, could you imagine if just some feminist lady just got really upset and just took, I mean, like, it'd be hard. It's a world that doesn't believe this stuff. It's offensive to people, you know, as you think about it, but it's God's word, right? It's what we believe. It's what we stand on. When we say, like, God's word is the authority for our lives. Amen. So it says that the husband is the head of wife. There's this thing out there called complementarian versus egalitarianism. It's like different ideas, like for like roles in the church and different places and marriage, so on. And I will say, like, I have no problem telling you that I'm a complementarian. Like, 100%. Like, I don't even think it's biblical at all to be egalitarian, to say, like, to look at it and say, like, I think that there's no difference between a man and a woman. Like, A woman could do everything that a man can do, and a man could do everything that a woman can do, and there's no difference in roles. Like, yeah, like capability, like you can. But as far as like what God gives as roles, he gives different roles. He gives different roles in marriage. He gives different roles in the church. And those are things that we stand on and that we believe in. And there's huge fights about this going on right now. I'm like, man, don't even get into it. Like, this is what the Bible says, right? Like, how do these verses become meaningless? Like, if you take that away, right? So, but it's also, I don't think it's quite maybe even the way like we might be tempted to think about it as we look at it, right? I think when you see this verse right here, that God is calling us men to be leaders and spiritual leaders in our home.
Amen.
And a lot of times we're not. And this is, like I said, that this idea of submitting or yielding is a divine calling. Here's a divine calling to men. Be a spiritual leader in your home.
Amen.
Go be the head of your home. Like, don't just say, like, I'm the head, I'm the boss, or something. No, it's go be like Jesus in your home.
Amen.
Right? And that's what we just spelled out here as we look at this. So the husband is the spiritual head of the marriage. The husband is compared to Christ and the wife to the church. The husband will not actually be the wife's savior. Only Jesus can be that. But he can be instrumental in her sanctification, which is like her ongoing salvation, her ongoing becoming more Christ-like. Now, this headship, it comes with responsibility. Like, this is not all just like fun and games. Like, hey, yeah, I get to be the head. I get to be the boss. We get to do what I want to do. No, 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 no. Like, you're accountable to God. You're first in the accountability. God's going to check with you first. God's going to hold you responsible first. And then also remember Jesus. What kind of leadership did Jesus teach? Remember when the disciples, one of the mothers came and said, you know, let my sons sit on your right and your left. Let them be great in your kingdom. And he said, you know, in my kingdom, it's about servant leadership, you know.
Praise the Lord.
He said, even I didn't come to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
So as the head and as the leader, you're the head servant, right?
Amen.
You come and do that, and you come and you serve. Now it says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. In what areas shall a wife submit? Well, biblically it says everything there. So it'd be easy for me to just say like, oh, well, this is just in spiritual matters or something like that. No, it's just saying just broadly submit in everything to your husband. Now this seems dangerous. How many of you ladies does this seem dangerous to? Like, okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think. Like, this seems dangerous. Like, well, what if he's abusive, or what if he's a really bad guy, or like a bad dude? What if he takes advantage of me? What if he does that, right? Again, we live in a broken world, and those things happen, right? And what we're talking about, the picture of how things should work, right? And like kind of what your part is and what you can do, right? So when we think about submission, it actually doesn't mean leave your brains at the door. It doesn't mean you're a child. Okay, it doesn't mean that there sometimes aren't other things to weigh out. Now think about how we as Christians are called to submit to governing authorities. Sometimes you have to weigh that out against other commands, amen? For example, if our local or even national government commands us to violate the Constitution, what do we do in that case? We weigh that out. Like, we weigh out the fact that, hey, I need to obey the Constitution. There's a higher authority, right? That's there. And a lot of us really felt like that happened back in COVID when they said, hey, you can't sing anymore. It's like, what? We can't worship God? We can't worship God the way we want to worship God? And we have to stand 15 feet apart and do all these things and do that? Like, that was like, hey, in this case, I'm going to sing to the Lord. We try to follow all these things. We try to do these things and be respectful. But when it gets to the point, like, there is a point, there's a line that's crossed where we just say, like, no, listen, I can no longer submit to that authority. Because I submit to a higher authority.
Amen.
That higher authority is God.
Amen.
Okay, you see where I'm going with this, right? If your government insists that you violate a command of God, like if your government said, no, you can't talk about Jesus, you can't read the Bible, you can't do these things, should you submit to that? Even though the Bible tells you to submit to that? Right, so we have that. So submission to the Lord comes first. Ladies, if your husband asks you to do something illegal or immoral, It is your responsibility to say no. Amen? Now, it also doesn't mean that you completely stop trying to influence your husband. Because remember, God looked at man and said, man, it's not good for this guy to be alone. Like, he needs the help. And I'll guarantee that every husband out there needs help. Now, anyways, I'm tempted to talk about the little helper in the car and things like that, but I'm not gonna go there. That's online. You can look it up. It's just a funny aside right there. Now, this submission, it's not a license for man to control or to dominate. It does not negate mutual submission. You should be going out of your way to yield to one another, outdo one another. Amen. And I've already said this, but like, if you're thinking more about your wife submitting, guys, then you're missing the point. Okay, now 99.9% of the time, maybe more, decisions will be made together as a team, husband and wife working together. You need each other, right? Mutual submission. If you absolutely can't decide, the wife should yield to the husband and let him be the leader and let him make the decision. Okay? If you are the husband and the decision is left to you, there's nothing saying that you can't yield to your wife's desire. There's nothing saying that either. Now, as a wife, should you like throw a fit if your husband doesn't yield to you? No. As a husband, should you throw a fit at any time for things? No. Right? We should respect each other as you look at it. But like, there are times and there are cases. I was having trouble even thinking about, when has this ever happened in my marriage? Like, probably the only example that I could think of, and Hannah, you can tell me more if we think about more, you know. But I think it's the house that we chose. The house that we live in right now, we have a beautiful home. We live in the home that we live in, but Hannah wanted to buy a farmhouse that was like 1,700 square feet in Spanaway that was like 150 years old. And it was just like, wow, and the plumbing didn't work and different things. And she likes that kind of stuff. Look at it. And also, she didn't like the house that we picked because she's like, man, there's a lot of flower beds in this house and there's a lot to take care of and different things. And I made the decision. And every once in a while, she does remind me of that. Like, every once in a while, you know. But she yielded. And she said, you know, you decide on this. I need you to make the decision. So it wasn't like something that was like a huge fight for us. But like, that's like the only example that I could think of there that was the case in that. And I don't look back and thinking, I don't think I wish we did that other one. I'm actually glad we didn't, because now I know more about ourselves and we wouldn't have done well in that. would have been a disaster. Okay, so this is rare. And I think if you're reaching this point like all the time, like, oh, I'm the husband, I'm going to decide. Really, and I think it's more about the wife saying, you're the husband, you lead us. If that's happening all the time, then you got some other problems. Okay? Like, if it's constantly like the man's pushing that and the man's pushing that, okay? John Piper gave a definition of submission that I really like. He's a pretty deep thinker. He thinks things out. He's pretty good with words, better than I am. And you think about this idea that it is God that calls the man to be the leader. Right? So God calls the man to be the leader. The wife's called to submit to that leadership. They are a team. They are a partnership. Right? So if you're like really like you're married to this man and you're his partner, like you want him to be successful. It's not a power struggle. Like you want him to be the leader. You want him to be obedient to God's calling in his life. Amen. So you want to get behind him in that. And I think that comes out in this definition. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and so help to carry it through according to her gifts. That's a good one, right? Want to hear it again? You can look this up online too, but submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and so help to carry it through according to her gifts. Now, there's a sermon online you can find. It says, What Submission Is Not. It's by John Piper, and that comes out of that sermon and probably other places. But he goes through a number of things. He said, submission are not these things, and he lists them. And some of them I've mentioned in the sermon here today. Now, next is, should a wife only submit to a godly husband? Should a wife only submit to a godly husband or a believing husband or something like that? Well, I say no, and not just me say, I say no, but the scripture says no. In 1 Peter 3:1, it says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. We're talking about your witness now, right? As a wife towards your husband. All right, now I'm getting serious here. We haven't even gotten into husbands yet. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think most of this is about husbands. Would you give me a pass to stop here and pick this up next week?
No.
I know. And if you're not going to be here, you're not going to be here. Like, you want to see it? Like, you could get the recording. That's why I record it right here. Okay?
Yeah.
But I really think I should, because I want to do justice to the guys.
Amen.
And how about you guys who have heard this? Like, can you commit to coming here next week and hearing the rest of this?
Amen.
I know some of you are traveling. You're like, we got a vacation. Like, you can't. You get a pass. But we record these every time we record them for a reason, so you can go back and you can watch it. You can pay attention to it. Okay, so as far as we've gotten today, we didn't get all the way. But I think, like, as you look at it, you are getting somewhat of a picture there. Like, this is God's calling. You're a team. You work together. You're not adversaries. Like, the husband and wife, you're not adversaries. You're not against each other. You're a team working together. Ladies, you want to build your husband up. You want the best from him, right? Husbands, you don't want to abuse this privilege because you answer to God,
yeah.
Right, as you have it. And like, I hope you're starting to see, like, I can start to see the shape of the fact that this is a beautiful thing. I would say, like, most the hard verses for the ladies are gone, and now it's going to be the hard verses for guys. So invite your guy friends to come in here. Make sure your husbands are here, but we'll get that, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray, and while I'm praying, if the worship team will come on back up. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. When we really dig in, when we really think about it, it's so rich. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand these things, just the depth of them, and to live them out. And I pray that your spirit would be in charge of our lives and we would submit to you. Thank you so much. We love you. We praise you. We're just so thankful that we have the opportunity to humble ourselves before you and to submit to you and to give our very lives, Lord. God, if there's anything that we're holding back from you, if there's any part of us where, like, we really haven't surrendered it to you, we really haven't given it to you, like, where we're still trying to be in charge, we're still trying to be the boss of things, Lord, help us with those things. Convict us through your spirit. Make something new of us. Make us grow stronger in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.